Church. I can really see some great potential coming from this church. Amen? Amen. It's been absolutely awesome. And I just want to thank my uncle, Uncle Crazy, or I call him Uncle Crazy. You call him Pastor Barnes. But just thank you for actually inviting me over to the United States. I was going to say United Kingdom. But United States, it's been a great time of fellowship and getting to know more of ministry here. Many of you might not know, but me and my uncle actually have a lot of similarities. I can't really pronounce that word, but we're very similar. And I only realized it just a couple of days ago. And when I was younger, I don't really look up to people. I'm inspired by people, but I never say I want to be like that person. So I'm not that kind of person, but I kind of inspired by people. And without me knowing it, God has actually done a lot of things that I didn't know that is very similar to my uncle. So for instance, I'm actually named after him. So one of my names, which I'm not going to say because it's quite embarrassing, but one of my names, if you look at my passport, is actually his name. So we have the same, I'm named after him. My mom purposely named me after him. And the second thing is, me and him both went bald at a very young age. We both went bald at a very young age. It's just in our genes for some weird reason. But we praise God. Amen? The second thing is that we actually trained at the same Bible college. So I didn't aspire to go there originally, but he went to Spurgeon's College. And a few, many, many years later, I went to train at Spurgeon's College too. But what makes it even more weird is that we actually trained in the same church. We trained in the same church. And this wasn't planned. This is something that we didn't plan. But we actually trained for ministry at the same church, which I thought was interesting. And again, he became a pastor. And then later on, I became a pastor as well. He married a Nigerian lady. And I'm in a relationship with a Nigerian lady. And, amen, praise God. And, amen. And we both have a passion for Jesus. We both... Oh, I can say for myself, especially, and I'm seeing in his life, we both love Jesus. And I just seen the way God just randomly, well, in his plans, just allowing things to happen according to his plan. But I see there's a lot of similarities with us. But I think the main thing is that we love Jesus. We love Jesus. And we're really praying that our family and our friends through us will also know about Jesus as well. But there's one big difference is that I'm more handsome than him. So, and that's the main one. But we praise God. We praise God. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at some deep stuff. During the week, we've been looking at identity. And one thing I love doing is I love to travel. This is why I like being in America here. I love to travel. And when I was 16 years old, I had the opportunity to work as a youth missionary. So it meant basically I can go around the world preaching the gospel. But one kind of mistake that I did when I was going to these different countries is I never researched about that country. I just kind of went over there thinking that that country was going through what we were going through in my country, which isn't true. Many countries go through different things. So now when I'm going to a different country, I try to research more of that country, look at the history of that country, look at the leaders of that country, look at the issues of that country. I don't go in there blindly. But before, I didn't care. I just hopped on a plane. Sometimes I didn't even know what the country looked like. I didn't know what the flag looked like. I just went there and preached the gospel. And it wasn't always connecting because I didn't really do my research on that country. And I realized that this is the same with Christians, that there are different Christians around the world who go through different things. And it's very important to, when you're going to different places, to kind of know the context of the Christians. So there are certain Christians around the world who are going through persecution, physical persecution. They are dying because they believe in Jesus. Whereas in the UK, you're not really necessarily going to die for preaching the gospel. You may get some people who don't like you, which is normal, but you won't necessarily get killed for preaching the gospel. So I learned that when I go to different places, I have to encourage the believers sometimes in a different way because I understand that context is important. Amen? Amen? It's very important. This is something that Jesus did. This is something that Paul did when they went on their missional journeys. They made sure that they connected with the people in a way that they would understand. And I realized that the devil does the same thing as well. And today we're going to be talking a bit about the devil, but we're not going to glorify him at all because he doesn't need any of that. But we're going to expose him so that we can have power over him. Amen? So he understands context. And when he's tempting you, he will tempt you in different ways. So there are certain things that I will be struggling with that you may not be struggling with. And there's certain things that you will be struggling with that I won't be struggling with. So the devil understands context. He knows how to get a whole nation people. He knows how to get individual people with your temptations and the things that you suffer with. But then I realized something about the enemy, and is that he always goes for one particular thing first. Whether you're in China, whether you're in America, whether you're in the UK, whether you're in Antarctica, whether you live on the moon for some weird reason, the enemy will always go for one thing, and that is your identity. He's always gonna go for your identity. And this is deep. This is what we're gonna be speaking about today. And I realized that the enemy was even brave enough to do this with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, Mike P, he mentioned it yesterday. In Matthew chapter 4, we know that Jesus is led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food. Who can do that? Not me. I can't do a few minutes without food. But for 40 days and 40 nights, he's led by the Holy Spirit, and there's a series of temptations that the enemy brings before him. And listen to what the enemy says to Jesus first. The first opportunity that the enemy gets with Jesus, listen to what he says. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. If you are the Son of God. Now understand this, the enemy knew that Jesus was the Son of God, because Jesus isn't a new character that just appears in the book of Matthew. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And all things were made through Jesus. So the enemy knew who Jesus was, but still chose to tackle his identity. So this is how big this is. So if the enemy did it with Jesus, who's he going to do it to? He's going to do it to you too. Because your identity is key. If somebody can break and make you forget who you are, they have great power over you. Imagine in the UK we have a queen. Has anyone heard of the queen before? We have a queen. She's a very nice lady. I'm not sure what she does, but she does a lot of great stuff in the community. But she's a queen. She's a queen of that country. Now, imagine if I had a power to make the queen forget who she is. Just imagine that for a few minutes. Imagine I had a power to make the queen forget who she is. So now she no longer understands that she's a queen. She's now going to the street. She's begging for money. She's looking for somewhere to sleep. Even though she has so much riches, even though she has so much authority, but I've kind of allowed her to forget who she is. And this is something that the enemy is doing to Christians all around the world. I go to different places in the world and I ask them, who are you? And people can't answer the question. Who are you? Some people say, I'm a bus driver. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. These things are great, but it's not who you are. I try to make the question even more easy, and I say, okay, if you were the only person on this earth, what would you be? Some people say they'll be very lonely, which is probably true. But still, people can't understand that question. If you're the only person on this earth, what would you still be? Could anyone answer that question for me? Jason? Amen. Amen. If you're the only, amen, that deserves a round of applause. If you're the only person on this earth, you will still be a child of God. And we're going to look further on what that means in a moment. So today we're going to be focusing on the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is my favorite book in the whole Bible. I honestly believe that if you can understand the book of Genesis, the rest of the Bible will make so much sense to you. People talk about the Bible being so confusing, but if you can understand the book of Genesis, the rest of the Bible will make so much sense. Why do I say that? It's because the book of Genesis shows us life before sin. And then it shows us life after sin. And the rest of scripture is God basically trying to bring his children back to himself. That's basically the whole Bible. If I had to describe the Bible in one word, the word would be redemption. Because it's bringing back what was lost. So it's just basically this love letter where God is bringing all of humanity back to himself. That is the whole Bible. Amen? So the book of Genesis is very important for us to understand. When I meet with a new believer and they say, what should I start reading? I give them two books, the book of Genesis and the book of Matthew. Because if you don't understand why Jesus came to this earth, the book of Matthew might not sound too interesting to you. But it's very important for us to understand the book of Genesis. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be focusing on Genesis 3 from verses 1 to 13. Does anyone have their swords with them today? Not literally, please, but your Bibles. Please turn to Genesis chapter 3, reading from 1 to 13. If you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
Fantastic. So it says this: Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal the Lord had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat from the fruits from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the presence of God. They hid from the Lord amongst the tree in the garden. But the Lord God called the man and said, Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, The woman you put here, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? Amen. Before we go further, there's some key things we need to understand about this passage. Very simple things. The first thing is, Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. Adam and Eve had this relationship with God. Number two, Adam and Eve knew who they were with God. So they understood that they were children of God. Number three, they both were given power and authority. They both were given power and authority. Number four, things were very good on the earth. When God made everything, he said that it was good. So things were good on the earth. And number five, there were commands and order in the Garden of Eden. So there was command and there was orders in the Garden of Eden. So today I have four identity keys that I want us to look at. If you have your pens and papers or your phones, I want you to write these keys down. Four identity keys that I believe if we take on board, it's really going to transform our lives. Amen? Four identity keys. So the first one we're going to look at, and I want you just to quickly turn to your neighbor and say, you are a unique creation. And turn to the next person and say, you are a child of God. Amen. So when you're reading the book of Genesis, something that my uncle taught me, I don't think he can remember this, but something he taught me when I was beginning to read the Bible was you need to ask questions. You need to ask questions. And when you have these questions, write it down and seek God to answer these questions. So for many years, I'll be reading the Bible and something doesn't make sense to me. So I write it down and say, God, give me the answer. And he does. So when you're reading the book of Genesis, you need to ask yourself some questions. And one question that popped into my mind, it's a very simple question that popped into my mind when I was reading these passages, these first few passages, is why was Satan speaking to this particular part of God's creation? Why was Satan speaking to this particular woman? Why was he speaking to this particular part of God's creation? And what I mean by that is, why wasn't he not speaking to the monkeys? Why wasn't he not speaking to the stars? Why was he not speaking to the cats? Why wasn't he speaking to the other creation? But why was he speaking to this particular part of God's creation? And it made me think about Genesis 1 and 2. When God was in creation mode, he was speaking and galaxies were happening. He was speaking and he said, let there be light, and there was light. Great things were happening. Then he begins to make things from their own kind. So a monkey gives birth to a monkey, and a cat gives birth to a cat, and a frog gives birth to a frog, and on and on and on and on. And then I believe that God came up with the most best idea. And he said, actually, I'm going to make something that I've never made before. I'm going to make something in my own image and in my own likeness. So he comes down and he forms this thing and he calls him man, and he breathes himself, the breath of life, into man, and man becomes a living being. There is no other creation that is made in that way. Angels are not made in the image of God. There is no other creation that is made in this particular way. And it made me think about something. If I was a gangster, which I'm not, but if I was a gangster and there was another gangster rival that I wanted to get, I wanted to really hurt him. But he's very powerful and I couldn't necessarily get to him. I'm not going to go for his money because he'd probably make it back. I'm not going to go for his cars, because that probably wouldn't hurt him. He can buy another car. I wouldn't even necessarily go for his house. But what I will go for is his children. Because I know that if I get his children, I'm getting something that is a part of him. I know that when I touch his children, I'm going to touch his heart. I'm going to break him. And that's why you see in some of the American movies, we see that kids are getting snatched for ransom. And being asked to pay millions of pounds to get the kids back. Because you see that when you get the child, you get that person. Because that child came from that person. And this made me understand, this is what the enemy does. This is why he didn't speak to the frogs. This is why he didn't speak to the stars. But he spoke to the creation that he knew would hurt God the most. You and I. Why? Because we are children of God. Amen? Amen? He went for the children of God, and he still does it today. And this is why you guys need to protect this church. Because anytime the children of God come together, the enemy is not too far off. Because there's power when the children of God are together. There is unity when the children of God is together. And the enemy knows. That's why you see in America and the UK so many broken homes, even in the Christian world. Because there is power when you touch the Christian brothers and sisters. You are a unique creation of God. And this absolutely blew my mind. To understand that I'm not just a random thing that God decided to make, but I'm actually special to God. I'm actually unique to God. No matter my flaws, I'm actually unique and someone precious to God. And it actually grieves God that I don't know my identity. It actually grieves God when the enemy is going and doing stuff to us. Understand that you are a child of God. Listen to these three verses I want to speak about. Galatians 4 verses 7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 says, for you are all sons. When it says sons, it's also talking about ladies as well, by the way. So it's just talking about humans. So don't be offended. So for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. Amen? Amen. Key number one. Understanding that you are a unique creation of God, and also that you are a child of God. Amen. Number two, Key number two, believe and live out God's word. Believe and live out God's word. Let's read from Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 3 to 5. It says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing from good and evil.'" You see, in my little time being a Christian, I've come to understand in my own personal life, it's much more easier for me to read God's word than to actually live it out. I find it a lot more easier to read his word than to actually live it out. And I realize that's probably the same for many Christians all around the world. We talk about scripture, we read scriptures. I see many people on Facebook, they have all sorts of scriptures on there. Some people have tattoos of scriptures. We talk a lot about scriptures. We speak about Jeremiah 29, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And it sounds really good. But to actually believe it and live it out is a whole different story. I know Christians who can quote scriptures left, right, center, backwards, forwards. They know scripture so well, but they find it so difficult to actually live it out. And I've come to understand that it's not just enough to know God's word, but there's great power when we believe God's word and live it out. Amen? Amen. It's not just enough to know God's word. I know atheists that know the Bible more than me. But to live it out is a total different situation. And it made me think about last year. I said to myself, I'm too skinny. I need to put on weight. We all go through those times in our lives. I said, I need to put on weight. So the first thing I did was I went on YouTube and I typed in 5 quick ways to build muscles. And they gave me all sorts of ways to build muscles. I looked at different eating things because even though I eat a lot, I can't eat a lot, if that makes sense. So I eat a lot of stuff, but I can't actually eat a lot. So I looked at different ways to find different foods that would help me put on weight more. I looked at certain protein shakes that I could eat. And I did all of those things. But one thing I forgot to do was go to the gym. I did all these readings of these things, all these quick things, how to build muscles in 28 days and so on. But the thing that I actually forgot to do was to live it out. Was to actually go to the gym and put on weight. And this is why I'm still skinny today. Because I read a lot of stuff, but I failed to actually live it out. And this is like us as Christians today. We do a lot of talking about God, but to actually live it out is a total different story. And I love the way James puts it. James 1, 22, 25, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." There is great power when you believe God's word and you begin to live it out. You can talk about being a child of God all day long, but let's actually live that out. Let's actually understand that, believe that, and live it out. So that when God says that I will be your father and you will be my son, it will be something that you can believe and you can live out. See, Eve failed to do this. This is what she failed to do. She knew God's word. She quoted it back at Satan. Yes, God said we should not eat from this tree. But what she failed to do was to live it out. And I pray that won't be us in Jesus' name. I pray that we will understand God's word, believe God's word, and begin to live it out. Honestly, when you begin to do that, for instance, when I was a lot younger, when I was 14 years old, John 14, 12 transformed my life. Because I honestly thought that Jesus was making a mistake. And you know, sometimes in your Bibles, when Jesus is speaking, it's written in red. And I'm reading this passage, and Jesus is saying to his disciples that you will do the same things that I was doing, and you will do even greater things. For me, that was very hard to believe. That Jesus Christ is saying that you would do the same things that I did, but even greater things. It's very hard to believe that. But once you do, you actually begin to see that manifest. You actually begin to see wonders. You actually begin to see yourself doing greater things than Jesus. Because his word is not a lie. But it's up to us to believe God's word and then go out and live it out. Amen? So identity key number two, believe and live out God's word. Now I want you to turn to the person and say, the next person in your hour, and say, know what you have. Know what you have. Now let's read on from verses 6 to 7. Verses 6 to 7, it says, the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. You see, it's very interesting that all of a sudden, this particular tree looks the most juiciest to eat from. They have all of these trees in this garden, but this particular tree, this tree that God said do not eat from, is the one that looks even more appetizing. It's so interesting. And it made me think, I strongly believe that Adam and Eve didn't have a big understanding of what they had and what has been given to them. Because they were asking and they were seeking for something that they already had. They were asking for wisdom of whatever, but they already have been given wisdom from God. It seems like they didn't really understand what God had given them and what they had for themselves. That they wanted something that they clearly already had. And it made me think even deeper about Adam and Eve. They're such a strange character. Because for me, I'm not sure about you, but daily I'm trying to seek God. Daily I'm actually trying to have this strong relationship with God. I'm not sure about anyone else here. But daily I'm trying to understand more of God. I'm trying to have a relationship with God in such a powerful way. But Adam and Eve had such a unique relationship with God where they could actually walk with God. Where they could actually have that tangible relationship with God. But for some weird reason, it wasn't enough. They still wanted more of something that they already had. This is very deep. And I remember with particular young people in my church, they will ask me some particular questions about heaven. They will ask me, is my dog going to be in heaven? Are we going to do this in heaven? Are we going to be married in heaven? Is there going to be food in heaven? Now, when I think about that question, I think to myself, the way I understand heaven is a place where I'm going to be with the King of Kings. The place where I'm going to meet with him face to face. And for me, that sounds like enough. Amen? It sounds like enough. I can't think about anything else that I need. I love my mom so much, but I can't think of needing my mom because I'm with the Creator. I'm with everything that I need right now. There's nothing else that seems any valuable to me. But God is enough. Amen? God is enough. See, God gave Adam and Eve dominion. He gave them wisdom. He gave them food. He gave them himself. But for some reason, it wasn't enough. And it makes me think about Christians today. We do a lot of talking about God. We do a lot of church activities. But in our hearts of hearts, deep in our hearts, God doesn't actually satisfy you. Deep in our hearts, God isn't enough for us. Because we keep trying to fill our stuff with our lives with other things. And deep in our heart, if we look deep in our heart, for some of us, God actually isn't enough. And the problem isn't God, the problem is you. And your lack of understanding of who God is. Because if you understood who God is, if you truly understood who God is, that's enough. That should be enough. Once you come to understanding that, wow, he is God and he lives in me, that's enough. And this is why I have a problem with prosperity preaching. And I know that it's a big thing in America, so I have to be careful here. But I'm going to preach anyways. Amen? I have a big problem with prosperity preaching. Because what it's saying is, come to Christ, come to God for what you can get. Instead of actually coming to God for who he actually is. Amen? Amen. Amen. But listen to me, I'm not saying that God isn't going to give you nice things, because I do want nice things. I'm not saying that God isn't going to give you nice things, because God is a God that gives good gifts. But if he doesn't give you those things, is he still enough? And this is a question that many Christians can't ask until they go through difficult situations. Because when you go through difficult situations, like difficult situations, you realize, is God actually enough? Just a few months ago, one young person who gave his life to Christ and is really on fire for Jesus, his younger cousin passed away. He was only 6 months old and he passed away. And he was really disturbed by that. So he came to me and said, what's going on? Like, why did God take my young cousin away from me? And I was encouraging him And I said to him something that I really felt the Holy Spirit was asking me to tell him. I said, even though you don't have your younger cousin no more, even though he's been taken away from you, is God still good? Is God still enough for you? And he paused for a moment and he said, yes, he is. He is. And sometimes we don't really understand it until we go through those difficult situations. And when we come out of those situations and still say God is enough, it means he really is enough in our lives. We see so many Christians that get swayed by the wave of Christianity. They come very excited. One thing hits them. God, what are you doing? Why have you done that? What are you doing? But I really pray that this church will be a church that even when you go through difficult situations, you will still stand together strong and say, God, you are still good and you are still enough for my life. Amen? Amen. Amen. God says, through Paul, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast in more of the gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Key number, is it three? Number three, okay. Is it four? Three? Did you say? Number three. Know what you have. Know what you have. Okay, lastly, and I think this is the most important key to give you guys. Lastly, the most important key to give you. Now turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye, and tell them, stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. Uncle, stay away from sin. He's a good man. Stay away from sin. Listen to the next passages. It says, then the man said to his wife, sorry, the man and his wife heard the sound of God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he hid himself from the presence of the Lord amongst the tree in the garden. The Lord God called the man and said, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. This is probably one of the most saddest parts of scripture ever. And this passage really shows us the power and the effects of sin. Because before this, Adam and Eve had no problem being in the presence of God. They were never afraid of being in the presence of God. But now through the act of sin, they're now hiding themselves from the presence of God. And this is very, very big. They're hiding from the presence of God because of sin. Interesting. See, the way I understand God's presence is this atmosphere of who God is. This whole atmosphere of who God is. And in that atmosphere, there is joy, there is peace, there is great things, and there is life. But the thing about this atmosphere is that sin can't collaborate with it. It just doesn't work. Sin can't collaborate with this atmosphere. So what sin actually does is it takes us away from the presence of God. And this is very deep. And the way I can kind of understand it is when I was younger, I don't know if any young people do this, but when I was younger, my mom, again, she used to work very hard. So I used to be at home a lot by myself with my younger brother. And I'll be having a wonderful time when she's not at home. My feet will be up. I'll be watching TV. I'll be eating snacks. I'm having a great time. The atmosphere is awesome. I'm in charge. I'm watching my TV program. It's going great. While I'm having my great time at work, my mom isn't having a good time. And she's maybe someone's annoyed her and she's had a bad day. So now she comes through the door and that's it. Pick up this. Why have you not watched this? This. And my energy, my excitement just goes out the window. Because her negativity, has anyone go through that situation? Yes. It's hard. But my mom has had a bad day. She comes in and she just destroys my atmosphere. And now I start acting bad. I start chatting back to her and it's completely spoiled my day. It's not quite the same, but what I'm trying to say is that sin can never collaborate with that atmosphere. It will take you away from it. And this is what's happening with Adam and Eve. See, while they were in that presence, remember I spoke about that they knew that they were children of God and they had a relationship with God. It's very interesting now that after they sinned, they no longer see themselves worthy of God no more. They no longer see themselves able to approach God in the way that they did. They no longer see themselves as children of God, but now they're seeing themselves through an eye that has been corrupted by sin. And this is what's happening with many believers around the world. The reason why you're finding it hard to understand your identity is because you've been disconnected away from God because of the sins that we have committed. And I know a lot of churches don't speak about sin, but I want to speak about sin today. Because it's going to set us free. Amen? Amen? Many people, the reason why that your vision is blurry, the reason why you can't understand your purpose, the reason why that your identity is very blurry is because you are living in sin. And until you repent of your sins and say sorry to God and begin to live it out is when you start to see things much clearer. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you guys before. Before I became a Christian, I saw things a particular way. I didn't see sin affecting me in the way it did. But the day I said to God, I surrender, come into my life and change me, is when these blindfolds were lifted. I could actually see, like spiritually, I could actually see. And this is what's happening with many believers today. The reason why you can't understand your identity, the reason why it's very blurry is because you are actually away from the presence of God. You're actually away from God and you're hiding away from God. And the great thing is that God has actually done something about that. You remember I talked about the whole Bible being this relationship with God, bringing back what was lost to himself. And that's the main reason that Jesus died on the cross. He died so that that bridge of disconnect would be broken. So that we can actually go to God and have a relationship with God again. This is why Jesus came and he died on a cross for our life. He didn't die so that in 2018 for sin to still grip us and keep us away from him. That's not what he died for. He has given us the power through his Holy Spirit, that sin may no longer have a stronghold over our lives. And for many of us, it does. It does. And that's why I keep saying it. You will not understand your plans and your purposes if you're away from the presence of God. You will not understand it if you're disconnected from God. You can go out to the world and try and find things to fill you up, but you're still going to feel empty. Until you say, actually, God, I want to come into your presence. That's when you see the fullness of your life being full display. Amen? Listen to what the Bible says. It says in Galatians 2:4, it is freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The yokes of slavery. And this is what I want to end on today. Because I really believe that sin has become an issue in many people's lives. Where you want to progress, you want to get closer to God, but these sins in our lives just keep drawing us away from Him. And I really believe that if you're willing to repent today and actually saying, God, I actually want to change. I was listening to a sermon that Pastor Barnes was preaching, I'm not sure when, but a couple of months ago, or maybe a couple of weeks ago. And he was saying that it's not just enough just to say, God, forgive me of my sin, and have no view of actually helping yourself or finding people to help you with those sins. But actually saying, God, I repent of my sin and I want to work on this. I want you to transform me. I want to find help that will actually help me to conquer this sin, because it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very hard. And just because I'm a preacher, I'm a minister, doesn't mean I don't go through challenges myself. It is hard, and the enemy always comes for you in this particular way, in your particular sins that you know about. But today, I believe that God wants to set us free. Amen? He wants to set us free so that we can constantly be in the presence of God. Because He has broken that divide that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Amen? So just for a few moments, I want the team, the youth band, just to come up. And we're going to do some reflecting. And during this time, I want you just to begin to reflect on all these things that I've been saying this morning. But the one that is going to keep you away from the presence of God is this last one. This sin situation. And I strongly believe, whether you are young or old today, this is not a message just for young people, this is a message for the church. There are some people here today who need to repent of your sin and allow yourself to be free. And you allow yourself to be used by God. As I said before, sin and God doesn't equal together. It doesn't come together. God can't tolerate sin. He can't tolerate. That's the one thing God can never compromise. You can change your looks. You can change your hairstyle. You can change your dressing. But one thing God cannot compromise is sin. You will not go into the presence of God. You will not be with the Father for eternity if you have sin in your life. But as I said, and I keep on saying, that God has actually done something about it. That now you can come and confess, and through the Holy Spirit, He can allow you and help you to overcome these sins that are holding us back from God. So just for a few moments,